Hello? Yes. Hello. Good. I could shout all morning, but that would probably scare you. My name is Del. I just thought I'd make sure that because somebody the other night told me that they get me and Nigel mixed up. We both have white hair. However, the older has more than the younger. God is fair, right? I don't know. I'd like to begin this morning with telling you some stories. About 28 years ago, can you believe that? 28 years ago, I and my family were in Taiwan for about 4 months. And it was a very interesting experience, but I just want to give you one little experience that we had. When we went there, with a whole bunch of families, and at that time we only had two children, and we were scheduled or arranged to live with another family. So there was two families in one three-bedroom apartment. We had two children, and the other family had five children. So that's five plus two children. That's what? Seven children and four adults in a three-bedroom apartment. So fortunately, this apartment had two washrooms. So our family got one bedroom and the ensuite bathroom, and the other family got the other two bedrooms. Anyway, bottom line was, their youngest and our youngest were the same age, 3 years old, one girl, one boy. They would look at each other, and it was like two cats. They did not get along. Anyway, one day, brother told us, you need to find another place to live. So we did. So in the process of, we had a little bit of furniture that we had accumulated, but we didn't really need it anymore to the place that we were going. So lo and behold, there was a couple getting married and they needed furniture, so they were going to buy our furniture. Wonderful. Okay, so we're getting ready to move. Moving day. However, I had a problem. I had no money. What was I going to do to pay the mover? So anyway, moving truck came. Somebody arranged for moving cup come, moving our stuff. Got to the new place. I thought, how am I going to pay the mover? You know, those days, especially in Taiwan, you pay cash. There's no credit card and all this kind of stuff. As everything got moved, I was handed the money for the furniture, and then I took the money and I paid the mover. I thought, Lord, you do things last minute. I went upstairs and my wife said, how did you pay him? I said, you wouldn't believe it. Just like that. You know, serving the Lord full time, I've had many experiences in the past, mainly not so much nowadays, of being short on cash, being short on money. And one time when we were living in Winnipeg, I had another experience, and we were living in a house that was rented, and rent was due the beginning of the month. However, beginning of the month, my usual amount of money that came didn't come. And I had no money to pay the rent. So what do you do when you have no money to pay the rent? You do something you should never do. You get a cash advance on your credit card. Right? Anybody who knows how to handle finances, that is an absolute no-no. That's nearly as bad as going to those payday loan places. Not quite as bad, but what was I going to do? I had no other option. Okay, one more story. This is not about money. A number of years ago, not as far back, there was a time where I was accused of saying something in a meeting, and it was totally misunderstood. what I was trying to say, and it was blown out of proportion, and it was written down and published and sent out. So I wrote the brother to try to explain to him in an email, okay, this is what I said, this is what I meant, this is the background, this is the context. I got an email back, worse than before. And I realized, okay, this could go on forever and ever and ever. Not quite like eternity, but... And I realized, I got to let it go. I got to be willing to be misunderstood. Forever. At least by this brother. All of us go through situations in life, hardships. Just heard a story recently, too, about somebody at work. You know, I'm sure some of you have experienced this. You know, you're at work, you have some things you got to do. Some things become quite critical. Some critical decisions have to be made. And you feel like, wow, I need a little bit of, I need to go to my supervisor to get some confirmation that this decision is the right decision. So that person did it. Less than a week later, she got an email saying, important decisions like this, you should check with me. How do you handle that one? When you did exactly what they're telling you you didn't do. And of course, it was a verbal conversation, hence there's no documentation. Being misunderstood is not easy. Hardships. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, hardships. So, last week, Nigel touched the end of chapter 15. Hardship. What's the hardship? The hardship is, first, no water for 3 days. Finally, we get water and we can't drink it. It's bitter. Okay, today we come to the next chapter. What's this chapter about? Let's read part of it. Chapter 16, 1 to 20. So, God's people Israel set out from Elim. Elim was the place where there was 12 springs and 70 date palms. I like dates, so I think I would have liked that place. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." My, what a complaint. Now just, this makes it sound like they were at leisure sitting around eating all day at a buffet. In Egypt. Doesn't that sound like it? But actually, they were slaves. Okay, doesn't add up. But anyway, let's keep going. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." That was because the seventh day was going to be the Sabbath. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we, that you grumble against us?" That's Moses speaking, right? Okay, let's keep going. And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning, bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Let's keep going. And the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost, on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. We'll stop there with the reading in Exodus. Oh, no, we have two more verses, sorry, in 16. Verse 31, now the house of Israel called its name manna, because what is it? Sounds like manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Not bad. Verse 35, the people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. So the whole time that they were in Sinai Peninsula, wandering in the wilderness, God gave them manna every morning. God supplied them every day. Okay, let's just do a brief recap of where we've come from. Israel experienced God's salvation. First of all, they experienced God's salvation in relationship even to the plagues, some of the plagues Israel was spared. But more significantly, Israel was spared the death of the firstborn through the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. They experienced God's salvation in the Passover lamb. Then they experienced God's salvation being delivered out of slavery through crossing the Red Sea. Then after they cross the Red Sea, they are being led by God, guided by God with this pillar of cloud. God's presence was in the cloud. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. God was there leading them. And you think about this. They even had a visible presence of God. Right? Yeah. They had the visible presence, the cloud. We even read it in the verse. They say, you will see the glory of the Lord. Ooh, then there's a cloud there. That's not a normal cloud. It's a cloud going up and down. We have clouds that go like this. We don't have clouds that go up and down. Have you ever seen a up and down cloud? No. They had God's presence. They had all this experience of God. Yet, God is doing something with them on their journey. They are passing through tests. They're passing through tests. Just like I shared with you at the beginning, some of my experiences, you have a multitude of experiences of also hardships and testing. We all have it. And if you haven't, get ready, it's coming. So what is their experience on their journey? The first thing is, of course, maybe even the first thing is before they cross the Red Sea, right? They're there at the edge of the sea, Egyptians following them, and they're scared. They cry to the Lord. At least that's good. They cry to the Lord, right? Then, after they cross, they're on their journey. 3 days, no water. That's tough. Finally, they have water, but then they can't drink it. That's tough. Now we come to chapter 16. What's the next thing? No food. Hardships. These are the hardships that come. Well, I would like to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 8, because Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, is now 40 years later. And the book of Deuteronomy is a repeating, Moses is repeating to the present day Israel, this is what has happened to you in the past, and I want you to remember it. Okay, so verse 2, chapter 8, verse 2. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Listen carefully to this. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you hunger. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you in the with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. And then we have one more, verse 16. God who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Ooh. He tested you to do you good in the end. You know, there's another Bible translation and uses a little bit different expression for this. Can we go? It's good here in verse 16. This phrase, humble you and test you. Actually, this word humble, it doesn't mean humiliate. It means to afflict. So the Jewish translation uses it that God, that he might test you by hardship. Oh, that he might test you by hardship. Or here, same thing, verse 16. That he might, in order to test you by hardship. Who likes hardship? Yeah, right. No hands here this morning. See, Ian, I don't get hands when I ask people to raise hands. Who likes hardship? Who, let me try another one. Who likes to escape hardship? We all like to escape hardship. And as parents, we like to help our children escape hardship. We don't want our children to go through hardship. But you know what, parents? It's not good to step in the way of your child's hardship. I was talking with a sister this week. I don't believe she's here. And she mentioned how, you know, her daughter was going through a really difficult health issue. And you know, her daughter was in England doing her PhD, and she went to England to, you know, to be with her daughter, and she was going to pray for her daughter's healing. And because she really believes that God heals, Yahweh Rapha, right?
Yes.
In her adventure, her daughter said to her, "Mom, I don't want you to pray for healing in that way." And as the time went on, she was healed, but gradually, like millimeter by millimeter by millimeter. And she told her mom later, like a year or so later, she said, "Mom, my faith was strengthened through that hardship. My faith was strengthened through all of that difficult time, being bedridden, unable to do what I want to do." Helpful, right? Well, what's the story here with Israel? The story here with Israel is they failed the test. Grumbling in chapter 15, grumbling in chapter 16, and sorry, next week you get more grumbling, chapter 17. So each one of us, three of us, get to talk about grumbling. How about that? Why? Because that's what we do, right? Why me, Lord? Why this? They failed the test. They failed at Mara. They failed here. And we'll find out, chapter 17, they failed again. Grumbling, grumbling. But it's interesting. Why does Moses here in Deuteronomy say, remember, don't forget, don't forget, remember, don't forget? Why do we forget? We forget everything that God has done. They forgot what? They forgot that God saved them from slavery. They forgot God saved them from the death of the firstborn. They forgot God delivered them from the Egyptian army by opening the Red Sea. They forgot God supplied them with water. They forgot about Elam. 12 springs, 70 date palms. They forgot. They keep forgetting. What about us? Do we forget? We may have the thought, well, isn't that normal? Isn't that a normal reaction to hardship? What's your reaction to hardship? Is it the same as the Israelites? Well, maybe it is, quote, quote, normal, a natural reaction. However, remember what Deuteronomy 8:16 says, it's for our good. Why? Okay, Israel, the people of Israel, came out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt. They had been there for hundreds of years. They had developed a certain mindset, a certain way of living. That mindset and that way of living had to be changed. God's salvation is not just to rescue you from the bondage of sin. God's salvation is also to change us from the way we were before. We all need a deep change. We need a change in the way we think. The New Testament calls it transformation. The change the way you think. We need to be changed in the way we feel about things. We need to be changed in the way we react to things. We need a change. And this journey that Israel passed through the wilderness was what? It was change time to change them. And the only way to change them was to put them through one hardship after another, after another, after another. God's reason for giving us hardship is to change us. It's not because God's upset with us or God's punishing us. I mean, sometimes we do things that are dumb and there's consequences. I'm not talking about that. Okay? I'm talking about all the things where you do everything right and it still goes wrong. Why is it? Why is it that some people, they give themselves to live such a healthy life, eat properly, exercise properly, do everything right, they're never overweight, and in their 30s, they develop cancer and die? You explain that to me. What is that? You do everything right, still something happens to you, hardship. God's in the business of changing people. So this whole journey in the wilderness is to change them. You realize how difficult it was. They had come out of Egypt, but Egypt had not come out of them. Sometimes people tease me. Dell came out of the farm, but the farm didn't come out of Dell. Farmer in the Dell, yes. Okay, but you consider this. Don't you realize this is our problem? There's something in us from the fallen state still there with us. This has to be uprooted, has to be changed, has to be cleansed out of us. How? We learn through hardship. I want to briefly touch this. There's another very, very interesting parallel and contrast at the same time. Israelites passed through a number of tests and they failed. But in the New Testament, there is another person, another man, that's Jesus. He also was put through tests. Very similar to the tests that Israel went through. In Matthew chapter 4, there's three tests that Jesus went through. The first test was concerning, guess what? Food. Just like Israel. He was also tested concerning whether or not about tempting God. And the third test was about worship. All these three things Israel also were tested with. The only difference is that Jesus didn't fail. So what's really striking in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, here it says, Jesus is responding to Satan when Satan says to him, oh, you're hungry. You've been hungry for days. You're really, really hungry. Hey, if you're God, take those stones and command them to become bread. You can do it. What is Jesus' response? He replies with Deuteronomy chapter 8. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Am I hungry? Yes. However, I take God's word over food. God's word is what I need. God's word is what I live by. Okay. I think we'll let this go. You can see it in the supplementary material. Jesus, as a man on the earth, also did not avoid hardship. There's many cases. You read through the Gospels, and Hebrews mentions this. We have the verses. And you can look up those verses later. Jesus was not spared hardship, but he passed through all kinds of hardship. Okay, what about us? Actually, we don't really learn much except through hardship. That's why those who have a more intense learning experience and hard learning experience learn more. And so you realize certain occupations, they really put you through it. I know before my son went to law school, he did a master's in history. And just so happened he had a professor, especially the first semester, he had to do volumes of reading every week and had to write on everything he read and then present it every week. I mean, reading. He just had to read a lot. And, of course, you had to read fast. That was actually the best preparation for law school. When he got to law school, he was warned, oh, it's going to be hard. You're going to have all kinds of reading to you. You'll never be able to match up. Well, he had already passed through that hardship. He was ready to handle. When he got to law school, actually, it was easier than what he expected. Why? Because he had already been through the hardship. Same thing goes with doctors, right? Doctors are put through the mill when they go through their residency, right? Crazy hours. If you ask my opinion, I'd rather not be treated by a resident who's been up for 33 hours. If you've ever experienced having a resident who's been up for 30 hours trying to fit you with an IV, if you see the guy's having trouble, you just ask him, hey, how long have you been awake? Send me an IV nurse, please. Sorry, experience talking here. We learn, what do we learn? First of all, we learn to know God through hardship. First of all, to know God. Hardship brings us to know God. In all his abilities, I'm just going to jump a little bit around here. Sorry if you have your outline and you're following. If you're not, that's okay. Then you don't have to be bothered. When we learn to know God, we also learn to know how to depend on God. Because God is the one. What do you think this whole manna incident was for? It was to help them learn to depend on God. 40 years depending on God every day for their sustenance. But kind of before this and through this whole process, what are they also learning? They are learning to know themselves. Oh boy. Learning to know ourselves. And it's usually the hardship where we are unveiled to know ourselves. Can we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2? Do we have that? Deuteronomy 8, 2, because this is kind of the crux of this whole thing. He might humble you or give you hardship, test you with hardship, to know what was in your heart. To know what's in your heart. Hardship exposes the depths of our heart. So if you really want to know who you are, you have to pass through hardship. What is the main problem? What's the biggest problem with our heart? And I'll guarantee you, every one of us in this room has this heart condition. It's called being self-centered. We all are self-centered. It's the main problem of problems. We're self-centered. I'd like to give you this quote. It's going to take you some time to think about this. This is from Tim Keller. This quote says, "We are so instinctively and profoundly self-centered that we don't believe we are." Takes a while to think about that one, doesn't it? We're so instinctively and profoundly self-centered that we don't believe we are. Now, let me just think about this. Let's just think about this for a moment. Extricate yourself from yourself if you can for a moment. Aren't all problems related to being self-centered? You think about it. You think about every problem in your marriage if you're married. Isn't it because you're both self-centered and you're not getting your way? Or your opinion is not being received? Right? Yeah. Let's just say it the way it is. The basic problem of every marital problem is that we are self-centered. Why do you react when your spouse says something to you? Because it's affecting you. When your spouse is angry with somebody that you don't care about, you don't really care. Or if your spouse disagrees with somebody that you don't really care about or have no opinion about, you don't care. But if your spouse disagrees with you, look out! You're touching me, the center of the universe. Now, you think about your job at work. Why is there conflict at work? Same thing. Why is there conflict between your kids, your children? Same thing. Why is there conflict between children and parents? It's all self-centered. This is the root. Hardship helps us to know ourselves. Mind you, some of us may be so self-centered that we can't even see that we're self-centered. Okay, second thing, to know ourselves. And I think, you know, some may have this more than others, but we all have this to some degree. And that is, we want security. We are looking for security. We want security in finances. We want security in job. We want security in marriage. We want security in family. We want security in education. We are all desperately looking for security outside of God. Outside of God. What was this hardship that Israel was going through? I am training you to have your security in God. Not in your ability, not in your intelligence, but in God. Therefore, I will give you meat at night. I will give you bread in the morning. And I'm only going to give you enough for today. Oh, that's the hardest part. You only will have enough for today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Just today. That's it. No more. If you want to keep something for tomorrow, guess what? Nothing. No way. It's going to get stinky and full of worms. Your dependence. So what is it? It's learning to become dependent on God for your very existence. Then, Deuteronomy, coming back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, what does it say? It says, man shall not live on bread alone. Doesn't mean you have no bread at all. Bread alone, what? But on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That means it's not just dependence on God giving things, but God giving his words, taking his words. Then, what else is there learning? Learning to accept all the arrangements God has for us in all our circumstances. I'd like you just to touch some verses in Philippians from the Apostle Paul. Paul says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Then he goes on to say, I'm content with a lot, I'm content with a little. I'm content with having lots of food, I'm content with facing plenty and facing hunger, having abundance and having need, I am content. Why? But you know what? I want you to remember this. He said, I learned. I haven't always been, but I learned. Through what? Through experience after experience after experience. And so, unfortunately, for me, I don't know if you're the same, but sometimes I have to pass through similar experiences again and again and again. Why? Because I didn't learn the first time. So I'll pass through it again. Do you depend on me? The Lord says, do you depend on me for your existence? Oh, yes, Lord. Okay, let me take something away, find out. Oh, Lord. And that happens frequently until we learn. Hardship is for our benefit. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. The Lord your God fed you in the wilderness with manna in order to test you by hardship, only to benefit you in the end. There is benefit to hardship. Helps to see it. No, let me just end this. I'm running out of time. Okay, how do we go through hardship? And I believe this is some, I want to leave this with you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. How do we get the supply to live through hardship? Why is it that some people can pass through hardship better than others? And I would say this. You want to learn how to pass through hardship, difficult situations, testings. God has given us His Word. The Word of God is the food God has given us. It is the real manna. And it's there for you to take every morning or every day. If you want the meat at night or the manna in the morning, whatever. But it's daily. But, here's the but. It's there, you got to go and get it. They had to go gather the manna. Did God give it? God gave it. But God didn't give it on their plate. For us, we all have at least one Bible in our homes, right? It's there. But you do have to open it. And you do have to read it, meditate on it, whatever you can do to eat it. With the manna, they had many ways of preparing it. You want to read it. You want to memorize it. You want to pray with it. You want to... What's that?
Sing it,
yes. Sing. Whatever you want to do. But you do something with God's Word to get it into you. And it's God's Word. If we learn to become dependent on God's Word, instead of all the other things in life, God's Word will get us through every kind of hardship that comes our way. If it doesn't, then God's Word isn't trustworthy. But I believe God's Word is trustworthy. It is trustworthy. And it's something God has given us. Man shall live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We have His Word. We have the Bible. It's not to be worshipped. It's to be eaten. It's to become the very thing that supplies us day after day after day. We can all do with less bread. Physical bread. Right? Can't you tell? I can do with less bread. But we can. None of us can do with less of God's Word. We all need more of God's Word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for this picture in Exodus chapter 16 and Deuteronomy chapter 8. Lord, You have given us Your Word. We also have to confess, Lord, You bring us through many hardships for us to know You, for us to know ourselves, and for us to become desperate to come to Your Word for supply. Lord, we confess many times that when everything is going well, we neglect You. We forget about You. So, Lord, even though we don't like to say it, we do have to say thank You for the hardships, because through the hardships, we come to know You. We come to know ourselves. We come to know Your salvation. We come to know Your Word. We come to know that our security is really only in You. Lord, we pray for each member here this morning, each participant. Lord, this week, we just pray, give us more times of gathering Your Word daily. A little bit, just enough for each day. Lord, we trust You. And above all, we trust your word. In Jesus' name, amen.